Hey, what's going on? And welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. I apologize for how I sound currently doing the intro, and I'm sorry for the delay of this episode. I came down with a very common cold after my 25th birthday, and I still kind of sound like shit. So, enjoy this intro. You know at least I'm not faking it, but it's crazy. Yes, no strep, no COVID, no flu, just a common cold. But before then, I was very fortunate to talk to my long-term friend, peer, colleague, dear friend, Andrew Smith, who is absolutely incredible. I love Andrew so much. We've stayed very close friends over the years since we played together, so long ago, around 2017-ish. However, Andrew's amazing. His new song, Magic Mess, and the rest of his discography are just so incredible. Please go check it out. And instead of hearing my raspy voice, which may be different than my over-the-top voice, I don't know, maybe I'll keep doing my voice like this, how about we listen to a little bit of Magic Mess, followed by my interview with the one and only Andrew Smith. Andrew, thank you for coming on. Thank you all for tuning in as much as you possibly can, whether you tune in because you like me, whether you tune in because you like the artist I interview, or if you just want to support either of us. So thank you very much again for tuning in. And here is my interview with Andrew Smith. Make sure you go check out his new single, Magic Mess, streaming on all music platforms. Check it out. And thank you so much again for tuning in. Have a good day. Andrew Smith, how are you?
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, buddy.
I'm good. I'm good now.
You're good now? We had a little technical difficulty earlier, but we're here to talk to you about your music. Now, first and foremost, how are you? Because I really haven't seen you in, 2019.
In like two-ish years.
Messed up.
I know.
We've definitely been in touch, but how are you? Like, how was your COVID and everything? Because the music's been absolutely fantastic. You've still been working really hard, but how are you mentally? Like, how is everything going on?
Thank you so much. I mean, a couple of things. I feel like we've stayed in touch really well, despite
everything. No, we've stayed in touch more than a lot of people that I'm friends with. And I think relatively we've met in person, like, four times. I think we just genuinely, it's almost like we're friends. It's almost like we like each other.
You're just like a very, I don't know, like a very decent, nice person.
That is the lowest bar you could possibly ask for. And that's all I care about. That is all I care about.
Well,
how do you describe Morgan? He's a decently nice person.
No, I say decent with a lot of weight. You know, like a person, I don't mean like decent, like Morgan will do. I mean decent, like you are good.
I think sometimes
like
good is better than
you're
great.
Kind.
I appreciate it. I believe the same thing about you.
Thank you so
and
much.
I think that it's very, I'm a very big champion of you as well. Like, I enjoy every interaction that we have because I think, well, not only are you talented, but you are also, like you said, kind. You're very good. You're a good egg.
That's nice. You're a good egg.
Thanks,
yeah.
Buddy.
Thank you so much. Wow. This vibe, we are off to the races.
I think they were killing
My COVID.
How was your COVID times?
Kind of, well, was it cliche? I mean, I was in Brooklyn, and I thought I would spend some time with my family. I'm in Boston right now.
Cool.
But I went back to New York. I was in Brooklyn, and I just knew, like, I didn't think I could do it just alone, basically, in Brooklyn, obviously. So I went to spend some time with family, and then, like, so many people, you know, that month turned into three, four.
It's been terrible, but I think it's so interesting because do you find that artists and people who are, like, trying to pursue some kind of career in the arts, not saying have been affected by it more, but have been affected by it differently?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, taking away 2 years of your 20s in general, especially creatively, is really, it's a really hard thing to wrap your head around, at least in my perspective.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think about it that way. I mean, something that was obvious in the beginning was when performing in live performance is such a big part of your life, that being taken away is a really interesting thing. And I can't say if, and I, you know, gigged a lot in New York. I can't say if I really, really missed.
Oh no,
it.
I don't miss performing. I'll be the first to say that as I'm doing and booking more shows and more to like go back to basically go back and like get more time. Almost like, well, I was doing a lot of live stuff, like you said, like you, and then I think it was a thing when you're at that early stage, like both of us in this age of our career, like both we are right now, but it's so much more stress about booking shows and everything else. If it was, I can't headline Coachella right now. Oh, bummer. But also I'll be fine. I think a lot of people who are specifically gig oriented for careers have definitely had a really hard time.
Exactly. And I mean, so there's just so much to talk about. Wow. It's hard to even
Okay, we can work backwards for sure, because there's also so much information I want to know about you just in general, like as my friend. But your new single, Magic Mess, is out. And yes. I don't know.
Excited about it.
I love it. It's great.
Thank you
it's
so
fantastic.
Much, Morgan.
And I wanted to see your evolution I guess one of my first questions that I really wanted to talk to you about specifically was because of your evolution as an artist. It's it's very interesting and very nice for you. I feel like you're just being able to express yourself really well. Because what would you consider your early stuff? Like almost like not cabaret-y, but because now it's like, I'm like when I heard Magic Mess, and especially like the single before that is as well. It's very pop oriented, and I was like, "Oh wow, this is sick!" Like, it's not like I didn't like your other music before, because "Never Drinking Again" is one of my—it's definitely on my party playlist. But it is interesting. What made you want to go in this direction specifically? Is it just your evolution as an artist? Is that a conscious thing, or are you just writing songs the way you want to write songs?
It's definitely both. When I first started releasing original material, when I was like 18, I think the reality is. I was not really living or experiencing life. So I wrote in a very, I think I was trying to be clever without much life experience. So what that resulted in, I hope, is nice songs. I mean,
it doesn't have to be in a specific genre. Specifically nowadays, genre is broken.
Right. I mean, I would say back then I didn't know who I was. So I was like, I think I'll just be Michael Bublé.
Well, you know, everyone
has
like,
that
when they want to start their music career. They're like, yes, I'll be Michael Bublé.
Right.
Very common.
Well, and I think too, right. And I mean, I could also go really dark, and I could probably write a book about this aspect of my career, but like back when I was, you know, a teen singing in hotels and restaurants and like wheeling my sound equipment to nursing homes and all this stuff, I think what was really happening psychologically, and I know this through years and years of therapy.
Therapy is sick.
What was happening, therapy is sick. Yeah, that's another podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole other, we could have an hour conversation on just therapy.
Right, but back then, I mean, I was not able to come out, and I wasn't going to tackle it then. And I know psychologically, like just growing up in Boston and growing up in like an Irish Catholic kind of dynamic, I really like emulated a lot of straight male archetypes, and I loved how they were received within my environment. So I really loved Michael Bublé. I would love to meet him in my lifetime and tell him thank you, but he meant so much to me. And I really tried to emulate that, honestly, until I couldn't anymore. My gigging life in New York became a lot of like throw on your tux and sing at
the
hotels.
Well, that's what I was noticing, especially like in your live shows. Like that's how you were presenting yourself. But then when you have like these last two singles that have come out, they're starkly different. They're completely different vibes.
Well, this is actually
right.
Me.
And I think that is even cooler. Like watching your evolution. Because geez, when did we meet? 2017-ish?
Ish, yeah. Towards like the middle of my New York chapter. And what I will say though is the last project that has Never Drinking Again, I really am
that
so proud
sick.
Of that
Those
project.
Those songs are great.
Because, thank you so much.
No, I just genuinely listen to them. Like I only have people on the podcast that I care about and that I like. I would never have someone on the podcast that I would have to fake it. To be like, it's so hard to fake what you like in things. But I genuinely, like, again, obviously we are friends and it's not like, oh, we're friends. Ugh, their music sucks. It's we're friends and I right. genuinely believe and like in your music. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that last project, I really liked the songs and I had been listening to like, so I was listening to a lot of things, but the 70s are really like a major love for me musically. There's just, it's a lot of what I grew, my parents loved a lot of.
What are you referring to? Like, because I don't even really know your influences. What would you say just besides like 70s?
Oh, I know. Like, gosh, what does that even mean? I mean, I love James Taylor. I love
like
Randy
a lot of
Newman.
Like the,
I
like
love.
Singer-songwriter.
But also, you know, like that last project, you know, I was listening to like a lot of Bee Gees and a lot of, yeah. So like a lot of the Never Drinking Again production ideas and you know, there's a Bee Gees album called Technicolor Dreams that I was listening to a lot. And so that really influenced that project. And then what was really cool about these last two songs, but also stuff I have coming out down the road is this is the hippiest thing I've ever said, but
no,
I'm gonna
say
it, okay? I
you
hate
should
myself.
Not.
Okay. So this okay. I feel like when you're new to writing songs, it's this math problem. And you put together all the pieces and you get better and better at solving it quicker. I feel like I am at a point now where I can actually conceptualize something and know what it needs. And it's not going to... Damn. I should have got another coffee. I know what I want to say. I just know what it needs instead of like, how should this be produced and all of these other things where like, because it's honest, it speaks for me and it's easier to put together the pieces.
I think that
And that's what I felt like. I have never written more music than I have during quarantine.
So many
COVID
people are
time.
Also dealing with that. I think it's amazing.
And it's not like I've just been so productive.
Oh, it's hard. It's real work.
I am like, it's work, but it's also like I essentially came out during COVID. So like we are doing we're ripping the band-aids off,
baby.
We're doing
Andrew
all
Smith
the
is
fucking work.
Gone rogue, people.
I really
well,
have.
Why, how,
and,
so that is a very interesting, that's a very interesting look. Man, to be able to go through so much of the world crumbling.
Right.
But then I think that's just a very interesting, like, all right, if the world's going to fucking end, everyone might as well know the real me.
Well, and it's interesting because that narrative is a beautiful one. I can't say that it was constructed by me. It wasn't intentional. I really started moving my gay feet in 2019. And then everything fell to shit right when I was kind of finding my footing. And so that was really interesting. I mean, going back home was trippy as well. You know, I think you leave home to maybe find out who you aren't. And I knew that I had a lot of work to do back home to actually heal.
Well, what initially brought you to New York?
Oh my gosh, what a question. I mean, I think when you go to music school or you go to any arts school, you fall into, I can only speak for myself.
Well,
I just
make every general statement you can. Let's just go with it. Just blanket statement everything.
I guess I would say when you're surrounded by prodigies, it can be very hard to hold on to your
own
talents.
That's why I didn't go to Berkeley.
So, you grasp other things that help you feel seen. Mm-hmm. So, like for me, I am a good manager. I'm good at leading. I'm good at getting the gigs and social media. Like I'm good at graphic design, and like so, I really leaned into those things while I was at school because I was really confident in them. And then New York kind of just felt like, what's the next thing that looks like success? When in reality, like, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life.
When
now.
You're at home.
Like.
Well, you're in Boston.
Yeah, in theory. Like, I think there's something to be said as an adult or, you know, maybe like your later 20s. Like, I don't see my family all the time. But even just knowing they're there has been super helpful. Like, being closer. It's just such a huge part of my upbringing, you know, big family. It's just my siblings, it's a huge part of who I am. And being so far from that, and you know, someone listening might say, New York's not even that far. No, New York eats
it absolutely
your
does.
Soul.
Like, do you find that when you were living in New York, when you were talking to people, because we're both from the South Shore, Massachusetts, we grew up in very similar areas. I know a lot of people that you know. We have a lot of random connections and things like that. But even when I was home last weekend, right? I was home last weekend for an event that I first started a long time ago. Beanstalk. And it's so funny hearing people's reaction to specifically a lot of people who are just like locals on the South Shore and things when they're like, oh, yeah, you're doing like great things. You're like in New York. And I'm like, it's 4 hours away. Like even though like you, it is. Yeah, but it's a mental thing.
It eats you alive. It's a mental thing. And like. It's really challenging to live there. It's really expensive. And I was just working my ass off all the time. Like, full-time job. I'd have my sound equipment, like, in the back of the tie bar. Like,
Which is sick.
It's a store that I managed in New York as a day job. It just, everything was hard. And there's something that's a lot easier about being in a city where I can think and, you know, my job is fully remote now. So it's like the freedom creatively, holy moly. I mean, I can be in a meeting and just turn to my piano and just work on something for 30 minutes because I want to, right? No, then
absolutely.
And there.
It's fantastic. I'm doing the exact same thing currently.
Yeah. And it's changed my life. And like, I think I could do New York again.
But do it differently.
But I think if you need to find out who you are, you're probably gonna find it in New York.
That is a general statement. And I love it.
Yeah, it's very general. I would go
for any major.
I think, honestly.
If you get out of your hometown and you go to figure out, like you said earlier, like you live in your hometown, then you leave it and it shows you who you are. And then when you go to a new place or new surroundings or even bigger population where there are more people with more interests similar to yours and everything, you'll find out, ooh, this is actually who I am, not who I'm presented to be or anything else.
Right. And this is a beautiful conversation just because there are so many sub conversations hiding in here, but I think there's something to be said too for, you know, return home and, you know, if you need to be knocked down a few pegs,
it'll happen.
Because I think I mean, I was just honestly like living in New York. I just felt like I was always hungry, like 20 pounds lighter, like malnourished and like always running around, like no sleep. I was a freaking mess.
It's what does to you.
It's what it does to you. And now that I'm back home, you're very much aware of the things that looked mm-hmm. cool, but weren't actually cool. And I, you know, maybe you had a cool gig or you collaborated with, I don't know.
I can't think of an example right now. Every night for a lot of people.
Right. And I think coming home, like I haven't, you know, I've been gigging a little bit here and there, mm-hmm. this fall, but like, I know the first show I do of my stuff, it's going to feel like I'm 18.
But that's how it should be. Music can do that to you.
Well, but it's like humbling. Absolutely. I hesitate to use that word, but it's like there's some... I feel like I'm focusing on... My friend Laura hates this word.
Shout out, Laura.
On the craft. Hi, Laura. On the craft. But like, I have not been this mindful of the mm-hmm. craft in so friggin' Absolutely. Long. Like, even when I was at Berkeley, I'm writing better songs now simply because I'm living
Absolutely.
My life.
It's hard to write songs.
I'm dating.
It's hard when you're writing songs in a dorm room, even if you're surrounded by prodigies, then you're gonna want to put it into words, but more importantly, into music.
Well, and also too, prodigy players. I mean, I am not a piano player. I mean, I grew up playing, but I am like not, I'm not a player, but I can bop around on my own songs. But I just really needed mm-hmm. to come home to remember that I'm talented.
Absolutely. It's very important. Did you think, and here's a question that I have specifically from your time at Berkeley, because mm-hmm. I think it's a very interesting thing, which I hope the landscape of that college is changing, because from what I've seen, it definitely has changed. But when I did one of the summer program or whatever, it really, like, that whole experience, I made some really amazing friends, some really talented people that I became close with, but yeah, everyone there was either just like really into jazz or like really even like into metal or like a lot of things. And I am a four chord guy. I love simple. I love pop music. I don't mind people screaming and yelling on acoustic guitar. Those are the things I don't mind.
Sure.
And when I was with those people, a lot of them made me feel really bad about that part. Like, ooh, this isn't like a musical. Oh. This isn't like actual music. Like, this is like indie rock and everything else. Did you find that with your own sound, or were just, what was the environment like when you were going to Berklee?
That's so interesting.
It's I feel a like the question. Music has gotten so diverse specifically, because I know a lot of people who like do pop music obviously go to Berklee, and a lot of people who are just dedicated jazz drummers also go to Berklee as well. I feel like the spectrum of people is ever going, like everlasting, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like when I was there, it was pretty heavy on the jazz. Well,
theory too.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I mean, yeah, I would say in like the core curriculum, I think it can be challenging to diversify the approach in the on the academic side. But a lot of the songwriting classes, I think it depends on your teachers, obviously, in their approach. But I mean, like I took a Beatles harmony course after I finished my core. It was so hard. Like it was so cool. It was so cool. So I mean, it's a great question. I think at the end of the day, it's about being aware. I mean, I would love to do Berklee again. It's so much and you're so young. But I learned, I really did. I had a great experience. I would do things differently. Mm-hmm. A lot of my choices subconsciously, I think, were playing out the way they were playing out because I was putting off coming out. I knew that I was going to have to rip off the Band-Aid of every part of my life and start over. And I kept getting more and more overwhelmed by the idea of starting over. And I'm doing things now with a clear head, like remembering where I learned it from school.
Well, I feel like it's a great question. That you're now, do you feel like you're approaching not only just source material, but music in general in a completely different way now that you're feeling? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
How have that translated into what you've been writing and what you're going to be writing and putting out later on? Is it just all emotional based, or is it just like a burst of new energy?
That's a really great point. I mean,
because I feel like now that you,
Do you mean like academic? Do you mean like how I'm applying what I learned at Berklee?
Like, yeah, I could talk about music theory all day.
Because sometimes I love when I realize what I'm
that's
doing.
Sick, yeah.
And like, that's actually really cool. That's a great point. Here's what I will say. So, OMG. Okay, I was about to, let's fucking go. Okay. So a lot of my writing, especially in COVID, in quarantine and the past 2 years, it is so based on therapy. Hmm. So it's therapy has given me so many tools
to better understand my life. Great track.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Continue.
But throughout my 20s, even when I was really, when I'm struggling, I mean, it's given me a lot of tools to better understand my thought process, my decisions, and then better understand other people. And then hopefully in that understanding, be a better person to them and to myself. What I will say though, is once you start doing the work, it's incredible what you're able to access, because you're constantly reflecting on what you're feeling and what it means. And when you start doing that, it's just so, I don't want to say easy, but it's just, I can at least conceptualize, I am feeling this way. I would love to write a song that asks this question, or I would love to write a song that takes this revelation and puts it into 3 minutes. So the past 2 years, I can pinpoint when I wrote 20s. I can obviously pinpoint when I wrote Magic Mess, but the stuff that's coming out, it is so clearly about very emotional moments that, I mean, Jesus, I feel like my whole career now is going to be about being gay, but it's just, it's
and
so
the best part
vivid.
Is that it can be.
It can be. I mean, when you make the choice to really put yourself first and try and start over, it is, everything starts to become rooted in that truth. And I would say for a while, a lot of this material, it's going to be about this start, like this beginning. And that's what a lot of the, so this is kind of crazy and you can tell me if it's crazy, but I have noticed in myself when I don't release content consistently, I won't release it.
It's the worst thing in the world.
And
it's the worst thing in the world.
It's a dumpster fire.
Because you're working on, I mean, let me at least try to understand what you're saying specifically. Because there's so many times where I'll write a song, right? I'm like, okay, cool. This song's great. Love it. But because so many of my ideas for release take place with visuals, take place with, I'm trying to like create a whole other big record. I'm trying to work on a narrative and everything else. I'll put that song off. And then instead of just releasing it or anything else, time will go by. I'm like, nah, that song isn't going to cut it. And then it just stays there. No,
and it ain't right.
So I think artists put the way more pressure on ourselves more than anyone else could. Because we care so much about everyone else's opinion, unfortunately. Is that where it stems from you specifically? Because or am I just doing therapy now? am I just talking out
I
loud?
Know.
Now it's all. And
I'm always
now I'm
down.
Having breakthroughs while I'm on Zoom with you.
I love it. Is it about the opinions of others?
Or did it used to be?
You know what I think it is? Okay.
Hit me.
I am proud to announce.
So
excited
to announce.
Big
announcement right now. Exclusive announcement.
I don't think it's this much anymore, but I think, so growing up doing theater.
Which I can relate.
I have a lot of gremlins around being the best.
Sure.
Because in theater, only one person gets the part.
Like life.
And like life.
No,
oh,
that was
Jesus.
Way too deep. Way too deep. Back up.
But I can go there. But in theater, it's like, you know, you hope you're the right height. Or like you hope you're the right whatever. And I think as a kid, especially doing like attempting to do Broadway and Kids Bop and all these friggin' things, I got really intense at a young age about what making it meant. And a lot of gremlins that I have now, I just was excited to announce that they're gone. But they linger at times that I'm trying to prove something. And it doesn't friggin' matter because the stuff I'm releasing now, I like. I already won. If I like it, that's enough. And what's been really beautiful about that is I feel the importance of releasing it now because I know we are growing, we're healing, that in a year, I'm not gonna like that song because it's not, well, okay, wait a second. I can subjectively like it as a song. But as a like a theme song, it's about not being okay. And I would love in a year to be like, you're doing better than you were then.
Absolutely. I think everyone's
and that's the importance of releasing
every
shit.
Every song that you release, these are like, I know it sounds, again, hyper cliche to say, but these are diary entries in our lives. And if you were to look back, do you think it's going to be a very interesting discography of yours for people to be like, oh, that's when Andrew came out? Like, it's going to be a very interesting thing, specifically because then you're commenting on your past material as well. Not only you as your life.
Oh, absolutely.
We as artists are constantly trying to not only get better and improve, right? We're also saying this is who I'm growing into be. And this is who I was. Past, present, future, all at the same time.
I think what's been really fun this past, I'd say, year, really, like, you know, John Mayer says, like, chase the song. Like, I've been chasing a lot of my songs this year and really sitting with them and, like, figuring out, is that what you really want to say? Or, you know, is that clear enough? Or those types of things. What's been really, really cool about this whole process is I'm learning to creatively trust myself, because in my early 20s, definitely while I was at school, I just constantly felt like I was surrounded by better musicians and smarter musicians. So maybe something that was simple or something that was generic, I'd be like, ah, oh, fuck, that's just, that's ridiculous. Like, Mi Re Do is ridiculous.
Because one of how many times you use Mi Re Do?
Every other freaking, oh, people, I know.
If I got yelled at for like, ah, oh, dude, like, don't play a G chord, play like a G minor 7. I'm like, no, I'm going to play a fucking G chord because it's sick and everyone uses it.
But it's what the bubble can do. And what I like now is, it's amazing because I feel like someone could hear this statement and be like, oh my gosh, like, but it's actually a huge thing to send, like my friend, like one of my best friends, Jack, like produces everything I've done. Love you, Jack. What's been really cool the last couple of years is like, I just think he's one of the best people I know. But what's really cool is I used to really lean on him almost to like, I almost used to use Jack as like a cool filter. Like, is this good? And I love that now I send things and I'm like, I like that choice. And what's amazing is when someone you admire is like, that was really cool.
Absolutely. And you know, like, it's constant validation.
It's literally it's the best feeling ever.
I have so many cooler friends that I do that I also, when I get their approval, are like, yo, this song is sick. I'm like, this song is awesome. It's going to change the world.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be cool.
Absolutely.
Once.
Like, I remember, and I mean, it's such a beautiful, intense, beautiful, beautiful feeling when, like, someone you love or admire really compliments you. And, like I remember when I sent Jack 20s, he was like, this is the best thing you've ever written. And that just felt so validating, because at times, I mean, I feel like all I write about are friendships. We need 100%. Our friends, and we need people that challenge us, but also hold us. And my friends have rooted for me through so many,
I could say,
like,
the exact
so many
same
things.
Thing.
You know, and they still like me,
I'm
and it's really sweet of them.
Genuinely, I am baffled.
I
my
know.
Friends asked me to hang out. Are you sure? Are we still doing this? All right, cool. Let's go do it.
No,
go get drinks.
I mean, I'm fun, but I find life challenging.
We all do.
I find being a person challenging, and I find it hard to not think about what everything means. And, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, you overthink everything. And I'm kind of at a phase in my life where I'm like, I'm not going to say that anymore. I like my brain. It's a part of me that I like, and it's not hindering my growth anymore, because I might be overthinking, but I'm still walking.
Absolutely you are. And breathing.
And now I'm moving my feet.
And making great music.
And I'm sharing shit, and like, I'm trying.
You make it look very easy.
You know? Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, thank you. But I what I'm navigating next is, how do I share more of myself casually? Because me in a suit, I love wearing suits, but that's like not me. So something I've been trying recently is just how do I just share more? And if I'm in a t-shirt and a baseball hat, that's what I am wearing.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to conform. You know? I had a very big issue with that growing up too, because I don't know. I think I always really wanted to be punk. I always really wanted to be cool. Oh. I always really wanted, but
yeah,
I wore button down shirts and pants. Mm-hmm. So people would be like,
right.
Oh, you're not punk. And I'm like, I know more about punk music than you will ever right. tell me. And that obviously is not necessarily true.
Right.
But it just, my appearance did not fit that. And now I'm totally okay with that. I don't need tattoos and earrings and piercings everywhere to show that I really love fucking music.
Right. And swag comes from within.
Absolutely it does.
Like, I've really learned there's so much to be said for belief. And it really is so true when you believe that you really can, things start happening. Yeah. And you know, I'd also challenge someone. I'm always interested in like writer's mm-hmm. block. I'll tell you right now, like if you're in therapy, it's pretty hard to have writer's block.
Have you been noticing
block.
That you will say something in therapy and then go to write a song and then just have the breakthrough happen and you're like, shit, all right. I guess I feel this way, because that happens to me every once
in
a while.
Well, I write.
But...
Yeah. I mean, I write things down mm-hmm. in therapy all the time. Yeah, I.
Did Magic Mask come out of that specifically, or was it a lot of like thinking about other things? Or was that one of the things that you wrote when you wrote that song, the new track? Was it specifically things that you were feeling that you wrote down during therapy? Or was it emotionally built up that you were trying to like move forward?
A lot of the lyrics actually were a culmination mm-hmm. of therapy. The Magic Mess mm-hmm. idea absolutely was therapy. And then the I wrote it with Jack and our friend Ryder. And that was a really cool night, kind of putting all the pieces together, kind of like a puzzle. And I remember the like, oh mm-hmm. yeah thing or oh yes. I think there's something, I love the word yes.
That's better than the word no.
Right? Well, it's just like, so my day job, I manage, like I work at a sales firm and it's, managing a lot of salespeople and helping them mm-hmm. be better salespeople and really understanding the strengths of their personality and how can they utilize those strengths to persuade people and really get people to agree to meet and learn and all these different things. And I've learned, like, if we really listen to when we say no, it's like, we're not always full of shit, but we normally know right. the answer. Like when someone says, like, if someone gives me like an excuse or something, typically it means I'm struggling and I don't want to do my job. And that's like a way better mm-hmm. answer. 'Cause then we can like just watch The Office then for like an hour and then come back and work
it's true.
On it.
It's true.
or something. And that's kind of, I don't know. I think like Magic Mess for me is just, how do you take like kind of a intense mm-hmm. concept and make it fun, in that I was really, really struggling and I was really not well, but I was also simultaneously aware of a lot of people that were rooting for me. And to be specific, not only like a lot of people from all walks of my life, obviously, but at that time there were also a few key gay men mm-hmm. that were really important to me, in like, they're okay and I'm right. gonna be okay.
Absolutely.
But I feel like a fucking mess, but I'm gonna be okay. And that's been really
cool. Amazing. Andrew, I'm so happy for you, just genuinely. Just like
I am a scattered person and I don't normally do these. So this was like a beautiful, goodness, a beautiful first.
Thank you.
Podcast.
I'm happy to be your first.
My goodness.
And in general, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, again, we don't see each other often. We talk every once in a while. But,
yeah,
you know, like, I hope that you do know that I am a supporter, even if I am a very far supporter of you. Because when you're putting out music, at least I will be listening. And I will be cheering you
Thank
on
you so much.
From the outside.
No, I think it's one of the beautiful things about social media within the
art world, yeah.
artist community. I a lot of I mean, absolutely,
oh,
you
well,
included.
I just try
to be a supportive
person. You've always been that.
Like,
you've always been that. Even
yeah.
since we met, we were
we have to root for each other.
I think the only like the happiest and most successful people in the arts are people who support other artists. And that's the entire point for what I do with this podcast, with my music, with anything else. I just want to be the most supportive person I can be to my friends, my family, and other peers.
It's a beautiful thing. And I think when we aren't supportive, that's another thing to look at.
Well, we could definitely do another 2 hours on just therapy and being kind. But seriously,
right.
I really, really, really love Magic Mass. And if you, what,
Thank
if
you
you're
so
listening,
much.
Make sure you go check out all of Andrew Smith's music. Amazing discography. And just in general, big fan of you. Just a big fan of you as a human. And thank you again for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Anything else that you need to plug?
Thanks
anything
so
else
much,
that I
Morgan.
Can help with this next single
oh
coming
my goodness.
Out? When are we working on? Single album EP? Music video?
So, yeah.
Sheesh.
Well, so I haven't announced anything, but we are filming a pretty
Ooh.
Big video on October 15th. It's like my first big real video. And it's for a song that's going to come out around
Fantastic.
Thanksgiving. And I got to say, I think it's one of my favorite things I've
well,
ever done.
You heard it here first. Maybe pushing a little bit further. But hey, you want to hear new music? Want to go see a cute face in a cute video? Go check out Andrew Smith's music when it happens. And Andrew, I cannot say thank you again for just a really lovely conversation about your life and music. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Morgan.
I'll catch you later.
Bye.
We're good.